Hey y'all, this is Jay Coot, and you're listening to Music's Journey with my friend, host Ken Sear.
Summer sun sinking on a Walmart, BYO, Levi's, and Carhartt hats.
You just heard a snippet of the latest release for the winner of Season 17 NBC's The Voice, Nashville recording artist Jay Coot with his brand new single that we'll be playing in just a little bit. I am honored to have Jake back here to talk more about his new music, his new single, and talk about married life on the road with Music's Journey. I'm your host, Kim Sear. I have got a great show, so welcome to the show, Jay Coot.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much, by the way, for sending out that signed CD for me. That was so special. What a beautiful, beautiful body of work. That was amazing for your debut EP out.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, that was, you know, there was a lot of hard work and a lot of, you know, heartache, I feel like, that went into that thing and trying to figure out what songs would be perfect. And, you know, we wrote nonstop through COVID, through the first wave or whatever. You know, through Zoom rights and everything else like that. And so it was a challenge in and of itself to get those songs, you know, together and then recorded and all that. So that was quite the task, but I'm really pleased with the way it turned out. And I appreciate you listening to it.
Oh, you've got some great songs on there. We're going to get into those in just a little bit. Last time I had you on the show, you were getting married that exact same week. I think I spoke to you on the Wednesday. You were getting married on the Saturday. And
yes, ma'am.
You were having such a busy week there. And thank you so much for doing the show then. How is married life? How was the wedding?
Oh, the wedding was amazing. We couldn't have asked for better weather, better just from the venue to the people we had come out to. I mean, you name it. It was just a great day all around. And of course, married life since then has been just amazing. We've had so much fun. I feel like, you know, we started dating when COVID was in full swing. And so we kind of were in our own little world, you know, especially in Nashville, everything was shut down. And so we kind of started dating in our own little world, you know, got engaged in our own little world. And then while we were on the honeymoon, obviously I didn't have my phone, but I got an email from Kelly Clarkson saying, hey, we want you to come out and be on the Kelly Clarkson show. And that was like a couple days after we got back from the honeymoon. And so almost immediately after getting back from the honeymoon, we flew out to L.A. to be a part of the Kelly Clarkson show. And then shows just started happening. And so married life has been amazing. And it's been amazing to have my wife on the road with me. But it has been nonstop. And I'm not going to complain at all. I mean, you know, thank God for live shows. And hopefully this new wave of stuff that doesn't start canceling too much more. But I can't complain whatsoever about married life. It's been great. And it's so special to have her on the road with me and be able to travel with me and stuff, because we got to see a lot of beautiful parts of the country. But loving married life, loving being able to play live music again. And yeah, just super thankful.
It's so nice to see your beautiful wife in the pictures, Brittany. And she's been singing with you too, hasn't she? She's been coming up on stage at some of your shows.
She has. Yeah, she has. We're working on a lot of new material. You know, people keep asking what my next single is going to be, and I'm thinking it's going to be a duet with both of us. You know, I've been writing some duet songs, and just, you know, she sings, you know, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah on stage, and we have done other songs on videos, and so we're working on new stuff, you know, so whenever she's at a show, she can hop up there and sing a few songs with me instead of just one. But yeah, she's got an incredible voice, so people definitely need to go listen to her sing.
She's got such a special voice. You are so right about that. Now, your wife, like, Brittany's a full-time nurse. She works in the labor ward, right?
She does. She is a labor and delivery nurse downtown Nashville and loves it. I always tell her, you know, she's in there slinging them babies, you know, bringing new babies into the world. And, you know, I've got a new respect for healthcare workers throughout COVID with all the different things they have to do, whether it's masks, whether it's like the hazmat suits that they're wearing.
I know.
I mean, it's just incredible all the stuff that they have to put themselves through in order to give care. And so very, very proud of her and what she does.
Well, we are too. And for all the healthcare workers out there who have sacrificed so much, they have worked endless hours. You can't even describe what it must feel like for them. I know I've worked, you know, with people in the cancer ward that have been terminally ill, so I know a lot of what she has been going through. But she's on a different end of it too, because you got expectant mothers who are really nervous about COVID and everything that was going on too. So I imagine she's seen an awful lot, and God bless her soul.
Oh, well, God bless you too. I mean, anybody who deals with any kind of medical, you know, frontline or whatever, that takes a big heart. I couldn't do it after hearing some of the stories and the mandates and stuff they make people go through to work there. I'm like, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's definitely a very great thing, you know, and you have to have a big heart to be able to do it. So thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, well, she's a special soul, and all of us, you know, have worked so hard to be able to be with people that just haven't been able to be with family. And it's taken a toll, I think, on all of us. And life just becomes a little bit, you know, an awful lot more special, and we don't take things for granted in the same way. So like you said, you were dating her during COVID. You were dating Brittany. And then, you know, having all that special time together, it has to have been a real flurry for you guys. You know, like you said, you guys have been nonstop ever since you come back from your honeymoon, starting with the Kelly Clarkson show.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think no matter what season you're in life, or what, you know, what area or what time you are in your life, I think it's all about making the most of that time, you know, not worrying about the way it was and the way it's going to be. And so, you know, I think as we're getting older, that's something that we're having to learn the hard way, right? It's going, oh, well, when we started dating, it's like, oh, well, you know, things used to be open. We used to be able to go out to restaurants and eat. We used to be able to do this, travel, you know, fly. But now we can't, you know, and if you get caught up too much on what was or what could be, you know, I think you miss what's actually going on. And so, you know, once COVID lifted, you know, once our life picked up after we got married, you know, I think there have been a couple times we're just like, crap, can't we just go back to when the world was shut down? We had nothing but time to just go on long walks, you know. But, you know, there's so many things that we're getting to do now, like get on the road and see so many beautiful parts of the country and travel and see, you know, do different things that I think if we're not fully just enjoying the season that we're in right now, then we'll miss it. And so we're just enjoying it, and, you know, you just roll with the punches, you know, whatever comes, you just roll with it and make the most of it.
Well, both of you love to travel. That's the one thing that I'm not sure if the listeners know, but you lived a lot of your life on the road with your parents because they were missionaries, right?
Absolutely. And you know, and she did too. I mean, we both come from big families. I'm one of nine. She's one of seven. Both of our, you know, our siblings and us were, you know, we're homeschooled, and so we of course, you know, with missionary families, we traveled all across the States and lived in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, and so that was our travel stuff. And for her, you know, they would, you know, for the summer and stuff like that, they would go out, you know, to California and just camp out for a month on end and stuff like that. So both of us were very used to traveling and very much love it, and so anytime we're able to both be on the road is something really special.
Is there a place that you haven't visited that you would love to take Macy and Brittany that's on your bucket list?
Oh, I think there's, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, obviously I would love to travel internationally with both of them. Initially I would have said Disney World, but we were able to take Macy down to Disney World for her birthday this year, and that was really, really special. And, you know, we're getting to travel. We've been to Arizona, where Brittany's from. We've been out there multiple times with Macy, and then down to Texas, where I'm from. We've gotten to do that. We've been out to California, and, you know, when I was on The Voice or the Kelly Clarkson show. And so I think we're, you know, the southern part of the United States, we've been, you know, we frequent pretty often. But I would love to go, you know, up north. I would love to go, you know, whether it's, you know, Washington, Oregon. We're going to South Dakota for a show in a couple days that we're super excited about. But travel internationally, but we'd love to get up to Canada. You know, I was just on the phone the other day with Clifton, one of the tenors.
Oh, how nice.
And that group of tenors. And so we were, you know, I was talking to him because they're picking up, you know, touring schedule too. And so I was just like, and I need to get up there. He goes, well, most of our tour is going to be in Canada. And I was like, well, that, you know, that's not too bad. I've been looking for a reason to get up to Canada.
Please.
Maybe the reason that
we'll
do it.
So, we would love to have
you
here.
But I think, you know, just travel internationally. And honestly, you know, it doesn't matter really where you're at, you know, as long as you just enjoy who you're with and make the most of whatever's going on. But yeah, the United States has so many beautiful pieces of country that mm-hmm. you can go anywhere and see all kinds of different scenery.
Oh, it'll be so nice when you're able to, you know, take a little bit of a breather. I know this is a really hectic year for you, and especially with all the new music coming out. Let's go back just a little bit for any of the new listeners out there. So take us back to the competition at the NBC at The Voice. That was season 17 in 2019, where you had the one chair turn with Kelly Clarkson. Tell us about that.
Yes, ma'am. So I was reached out to. I had been doing a thing called Bath Tunes on Instagram, where I would sing to my daughter, Macy. Voice saw it. They wanted me to come out and audition. So I went out just like everybody else does, you know, and did the whole audition process. And then they were like, okay, we like you. We'll come, you know, we'll fly out to LA for the next round of auditions. So we did that. Then, okay, we like you. We'll come back, bring you back out for another round of auditions. And it just kept going on and on all the way up until the blind audition where, you know, people first see the chairs turn and everything else like that. And I can remember sitting there saying, I don't care who it is, you know, and honestly, I don't, you know, obviously I want somebody to turn, but I just want a chance to be on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellie turned and, you know, just it took off from there. And I could just remember I had my bag packed every single week to come home just because, you know, the talent there is just so, I mean, the talent level on that show is just incredible. And they just have so many different great individual people that, you know, connect with the audience, that sing really well, that play really well. And so on my season, you know, I may be biased, but I always tell people my season was one of the hardest seasons, just because, you know, the level of talent that there was.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I loved it. I mean, there was, you know, there wasn't a bad thing that I could say about The Voice other than being gone, you know, for a couple months at a time from family. Everything about the experience, whether it was, you know, singing on that stage, whether it was, you know, dealing with the coaches, whether it was dealing with other contestants or the people who make that show run that you never see or hear of, everything from top to bottom was just an incredible experience. And somehow I made it all the way to the end and ended up winning the thing. And, you know, it kind of pushed me into pursuing music full time. And so the rest of it, you know, just kind of been an adventure since then, but I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity.
Well, your voice stood out, and I remember talking to you about this before. As soon as I heard your voice, it reminded me so much of Ronnie Dunn, and I am a huge fan, and just like when I heard your voice, I went, oh, we need that voice on radio today, and I picked you up from the beginning. And, you know, there was Ricky Darren, too, like the two of you were just phenomenal, and those are the two that I had picked right off the top.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love Ricky. You know, I had him come up and be a part of the recording when we did La Bamba.
I know.
Because not only can he sing his butt off, but he can play the guitar like a wild man.
Good Lord, Kenny.
I agree with you. I honestly was rooting for Ricky just because, you know, I'm such a big fan of what he does and who he is as a person. He's just one of the nicest people you'll meet. And we've been fortunate enough to do a couple shows together since The Voice, which has been very special. And so I'm with you. I'm a huge Ricky Duran fan.
Well, I'm a huge fan of you both. But as I said, I picked you right from the beginning because I just love your style of voice. I just love your personality. It's not just the voice, though. It's just because you're so humble. You're so caring. You've got that old soul. And, you know, I just connect with that. And so many of the fans connected with that. That's why you've got a huge fan base right across the world. And you know what? We're so happy that you won that and that you're doing so well now. But look at the music you're putting out. What is Kelly and Blake and everybody think about all of that? Because I know that there was a rivalry there between Blake and Kelly for that show.
Yeah, you know, and first off, let me just say thank you for that. You know, that means a lot. You know, I'm always very, very flattered anytime somebody says, you know, hey, I picked you from the get-go. I'm a huge fan of your voice. You know, I never thought I would have that kind of a platform nor be in that kind of position. So thank you for that. And as far as the songs being put out and the rivalry between Kelly and Blake, I think that rivalry is always going to be there. They're just, they're like brother and sister. They're always cutting up. They're always, you know, going after each other. But yeah, I mean, the music, you know, another thing I'll say about Kelly and Blake. much about John Legend or Gwen or any. I know they've got Ariana Grande on there now, and they've had Miley and Adam and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I will say about Kelsey Blake is they are incredibly supportive of people who come off The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
They, both of them are truly, you know, and I've heard conversations with them. I've heard conversations that they've had with other people. They're, you know, they're very, very adamant, and they're very, very much in support of, you know, artists going, hey, let's not just let them stop after The Voice. Like, let The Voice be this launching pad for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, I don't know what all legal ties that they have as far as, you know, binding them from supporting too much and this and that, because I'm sure there's all these, you know, things and, you know, a lot of red tape that they have to cut through to do anything. But
mm-hmm.
what I do know is that both of them have gone above and beyond to support me, and Blake letting me play at his old Reds and, you know, promoting that. And Kelly, of course, you know, singing on that song and doing the music video and then promoting, you know, the brand new single that you were talking about at the top of the show. She's, you know, she's promoted it on Twitter. And so, I mean, it's just so cool to see how these mega talented superstars in their own right, you know, are just very supportive of little peons, I guess is what you'd say. And so
mm-hmm.
it's just really special to see how supportive they are. And I'm sure John and Gwen are the same way. I just haven't seen that, but I do know for sure Kelly and Blake are very much in support of their artist and what they're doing after the show.
I'm such a huge fan of hers because she gets behind the artist, and like you said, Blake does too. Are they just as funny off stage as they are on stage?
They're honestly, you know, and I've told people this, they said Kelly is real, you know, off camera as she is on. And I think she's even more funny off the camera than she is on. She's hilarious. She cusses like a sailor. And so she has to hold back a lot when she's on camera, but she is one of the sweetest people. And so it's so funny to, you know, have somebody so sweet, and then she, you know, she gets going once the camera's off, and it's just so funny. She's got everybody in that room laughing. She's more just a musical performer. She's like a comedian as well. So, you know, her show that she's on, I've been out there, I think, twice now on it, and it's the same way. Like, she just has everybody rolling all the time because she's just such a funny person. And Blake's the same way. I obviously didn't have as much dealings with Blake as I did Kelly. But I do know, you know, he would come up and give me a hard time, and we'd joke back and forth. And, of course, you know, I have worked with people since The Voice that work with Blake, and everybody says the same thing. He's a big prankster. He's just a big kid. And so that's always something so cool to see somebody at that level that's just down to earth and just loves to have a good time.
Well, I interviewed him once, and it was over at Boots and Hearts. It's a huge country festival. And before I interviewed him, I had to have a drink with him first. It was so funny.
That sounds just like Blake. I know, you know, he came up right before they announced the, you know, the winner or whatever, when they were on commercial break, and came up and was just like, hey, y'all take a big swig of this. You know, me and Ricky were standing there, and he brought up whatever his brand is of whiskey or whatever. And, you know, we each took a swig, and Blake just sits there and turns it up. Like, I mean, we're taking a little swig and coughing or whatever, and he just turns that bottle upside down. I mean, he loves his little whiskey or whatever, but, you know, and everybody's always asking what's in his cup, and
mm-hmm.
we never know. But I do know he loves to have a good time, so I love Blake.
It was so funny because I'm not very tall, so, like, he started laughing, going, this ought to take two shots, and we'll loosen this girl right up. And he made me take two, and it was like, oh, my, I couldn't even speak afterwards. It was so funny.
And of course, he is a big dude, too. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
about as big around as my pinky, but as far as height, he's a pretty, pretty tall dude. So we look eye to eye when we're around each other, but, yeah, I agree. I mean, plus, he's built up a tolerance, too, so he could probably handle a little bit more, you know, anyway. So
I'm not used to drinking that stuff, so, like, having two shots like that back-to-back, and he was just killing himself laughing. And, you know, it was just the funniest interview. It was like, oh, my God. And then he says, it's okay. You come back, and you can sit back here backstage. And I got to sit back there and interview him again after he finished the show. It was so funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's such a good dude. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories like that where he loves to have a good time.
We want to talk about your EP that you put out earlier this year, and that's Love at a Time. It's such a special, special body of work in that project. Talk about the video that's Rolling Stone Country World premiere that you guys did with Kelly Clarkson, and that's I Would Have Loved You. It's such a huge hit. It hit number one. You guys did such a huge job with this one on all the streaming platforms. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for watching it and, you know, for bringing that up. Yeah, that was a song that kind of came out of nowhere. I sat down to write it with Dean Sams from Lone Star, and then it just kind of morphed into, you know, we had Jamie come in, and we wrote it with her, and so I pitched it to Kelly and didn't really know whether or not she was going to want to sing on it, and then she didn't respond, and I was like, oh, well, there's my answer, and then a couple months later, you know, I'm talking to her, and she's like, heck yeah, I love this song. Yeah, I absolutely want to sing it. And so from the get-go, that song kind of had a mind of its own, and you know, we're just very, very blessed on having Kelly on and everything. And then Kelly's actually the one who came up with, hey, let's do a music video for this. And so, like I told you, not only recording a song during COVID, but anything to do with music videos or song production was a challenge because everybody was masked up. Everybody had to be, you know, 6 feet apart or in different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so we flew out to L.A. to shoot that music video, and, you know, it couldn't have gone any better. You know, despite all the COVID mandates, despite all the, you know, whatever that was going on, the video just went so smooth. Everybody had a great time. Kelly was just so kind to everybody. And it just turned out so well. And we shot the whole thing in one day. And like you said, TMT picked it up, Rolling Stones did. And there's just so many different media outlets that picked it up and promoted it. And it's got, you know, millions of streams now, millions of views everywhere.
Over 8 million.
Blown away by the outpour of support.
Yeah, it's like over 8 million views this video has had. And it's just like, you just can't compare this song. It's just a song that you play and play and play over and over again because we all can relate to it. So many of us have gone through that. It's such an amazing write, and congratulations on this song. We are going to play I Would Have Loved You by my very special guest, Nashville recording artist Jay Coote, featuring superstar Kelly Clarkson.
You gave me every reason to feel like this. Now there's nothing you can do to change it. You know me better than anyone else, how far I'm willing to take it. I never meant it more than I do now. There's only one way I can say it. More than forever, always madly, the deepest unforgettable. With all that I am, with my heart wide open for the rest of my life. I would have loved you. And I would have loved you.
We are back, and that is the smash hit I Woulda Loved You by Jay Coote featuring Kelly Clarkson. What a huge hit off the debut album Love at a Time with my very special guest Jay Coote here on Music's Journey. When you see how it's come out and everything that took place for Love at a Time, every single one of these songs have done really well for you. What did that mean to you to see an EP do that well, and especially during this time, as you're saying?
You know, I think, you know, even if COVID wasn't a factor, and I think, you know, even if the world was still chugging along like it has been for forever, whatever, I think it would still mean the world to somebody like me who's just getting started. And, you know, you pour so much of yourself into a project. You know, I had a hand in writing or helping co-write every song on there except for La Bamba, which, you know, I'm an old soul and I wish I would have written that song back in the day with whoever wrote it. But you know, having a hand in writing all those songs, you know, I think to see people respond the way they did is just incredibly special. Through COVID, you know, like I said, there was a lot of obstacles that you had to overcome and, you know, hoops that you had to jump through that normally, you know, aren't a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see how many people responded and to see how many people still respond, we played a show in Alabama and, you know, some lady came up and said, hey, could you play the I Would Have Loved You song? And so we started playing it, and she sang every single word.
Aww.
And it was just really special. And then, you know, somebody else said, hey, play This Is the Night. And so we played This Is the Night, and she sang every single word. And so I think it's just something so special to watch
mm-hmm.
how people from all over the country, and in different countries. I've had people from Canada and, you know, Ireland and England, you know, reach out and just be like, we love your music. And so it's just, it's incredibly special, especially going through COVID and all the things that we had to jump through. But regardless, we're excited to put out new music and, you know, get more music out to the people that need to hear it. So we're excited.
Well, I know that if you come to Canada and I'm at that show and I get to interview you there, I'll be singing every single word because I know it off by heart, the entire album, every single thing.
Heck yeah. Well, hey, we're trying. We're trying to get up there as soon as we can. So I'll be looking for you, and I'll be, you know, fully expecting you singing all the words out there. So we're gonna have a good time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the version that you did with Ricky Darin, he was ripping the guitar through La Bamba. But this whole body of work, you worked with Danny. Talk about working with him and starting out in sales and radio, and how the two of you met, because he is a megastar himself.
Are you talking about Danny Myrick?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Danny's a bad dude is what I call him, in a good way. He's a bad in a good way dude. I worked in radio for almost 6 years, and was in sales. And so when it comes to the production or all that kind of stuff, I was kind of new. You know, I did a lot of commercials. I wrote a lot of, you know, creative stuff for the radio station, but was on more of the sales side. But through that, I was able to go to Nashville and scout a lot of people. I met Luke Combs right before Hurricane came out, and, you know, got to sit and talk with him. And I met, you know, a bunch of other people that have gone on to do really great things. And so radio was amazing. It helped me see that side of the world and helped me see outside of just listening through it, listening to it through the radio. So that was really cool. And, you know, Danny and I, we kind of met, you know, down the road. I have my management team with the Luge. They had worked with Danny before and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And so when we sat down to plan out the album, they said, well, have you thought about producers? And I said, well, I don't know, you know, anything about producers here in Nashville. Like, I'm brand new. And they said, well, you know, we'll get in touch with a couple people. And they said, but we want you to meet this guy, Danny Myrick. And so I said, okay, all right, yeah, cool, you know. And so we met, he and I ended up writing a couple songs together. And then I heard some of his stuff, and I said, yeah, let's go with Danny. And one of the turning points, one of the deciding factors for me was when we started talking about La Bamba and what that was going to look like. And he was just, he had so many ideas, and the little drum breakdown session in the chorus, he came up with that. And then, I mean, it just kind of, he kind of took it and made a new sound with it. So that was really special. And ever since then, he and I have written a lot of songs together. The new single we just put out, I co-wrote with him and Kylie Sackley. And you're right, he's just a superstar in the writing world, in the performing world. I mean, he can shred on guitars and basses and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm very, very fortunate to get to work with him.
He's got so many hits underneath his belt. And, you know, with Joe Cocker, Jason Aldean, Tim McGraw, there's just so many people that he's worked with. So yeah, megastar he is. But what he did do with La Bamba, that's why I mentioned Ricky Duran, because getting him to shred guitar on that song, I loved the whole thing, you know, from top to bottom. It was such a great way to do that song.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it you know, and that's kind of become our closing song for all of our shows, which is so funny because, you know, that, you know, we've got so many high power, you know, fun, upbeat songs, but we have watched how people respond to when we play La Bamba live. And people go nuts. And so it's like we started making that our last song of the night. And inevitably, if everybody's not up dancing, almost everybody's up dancing every time we play that. And so it's just been a special song. And, you know, growing up in the Dominican, learning to speak Spanish early on, that song has always kind of been part of my life since I was a little kid. And so to get to sing it on stage and get to, you know, reintroduce it or even introduce it to a lot of the younger kids who have never heard it, it's just really special. And Ricky, you know, I was talking about Danny's a bad man. I used to call, a funny story about Ricky, when we were on the show, we were doing this little promo shoot, and somebody said, hey, can somebody play guitar? And while I can play a little bit, I'm by no means a guitar player. So Ricky was like, oh, I'll do it. And he picked up the guitar and just shredded it for like 10 minutes straight. And I said, you a bad man, Duran. So ever since then, I've always called him Badman Duran, just because he is a incredible instrumentalist. Like I think he went to college somewhere for guitar, and it definitely shows. That guy can play the guitar out of a guitar.
He is so good. He is so good. And now you've nailed it again with your latest release that you were working, like you said, with Danny, and there's so many other people that are writing on this one. But Night Left was such a great, great song that you've just released on July 23rd. And we love it. The radio stations love it right now. Canada can't get enough of it. And our listeners out in the UK and Australia are absolutely loving it. So they were so excited about the show coming up and having you on. So talk about this brand new single and take us through the story behind this one, because I know this one goes back to Arizona and visiting Britney's brother, right?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all that. Yeah, we're you know, it's always so cool to hear people in Canada love it and the UK love it and everything else. You know, that's just such a cool concept to me that sometimes I think you get caught up in your own little circle that you forget that there's, you know, so many people out there in all parts of the world that your music is touching and stuff. And so thank you for that. Yeah, I was out in Arizona visiting my wife's family, and her little brother, when I say little, he's only, you know, 6'5", 280 pounds. Yeah. But he and I were going back and forth, and he said something. He said, all right, bet. And I said, what in the world does that mean? He goes, oh, it means, like, bet that I won't do it. And so I said, okay, well, I just kind of put that, you know, I always write down notes in my phone, and, you know, whenever I go to sit and write with somebody, I always, you know, pull up all my notes, and I go, okay, well, here's this phrase, or here's this idea, or here's this melody. And so I was sitting down with Danny and Kylie, and Kylie said, hey, I've got this idea of there's a whole lot of night left. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. Let's, you know, let's roll with that. So we're trying to come up with melodies and stuff. And I said, hey, it rhymes with left. I said, but there's this phrase, have y'all heard, all right, bet? And both of them were like, no, we've never heard of that. And so I said, you know, if we put something in there to where it's almost like, hey, a bet, you know, like, and so we ended up coming up with the line, if you're thinking we can't drink it without ever even breaking a sweat, all right, bet. And so we put that in there, and Kylie and Danny are, they're just cool people, and they know how to write just these fun, upbeat, you know, dance around kind of songs. And so anytime I have to write one of those, I call them up and I'm like, hey, let's write, you know. And so we ended up writing on the EP, we wrote This Is the Night, and then we wrote Night Left. And so I told them, I said, I don't know what we're going to do if we write any songs that aren't about the night in some form. But yeah, thank you so much for playing it, for listening, stuff like that. It's been great. We play that live. It's probably our most, outside of La Bamba, it's probably our most fun song. That's the most fun to play, just because the whole band and everybody just gets into it, and we get the crowd screaming, all right, bet, in the middle of the chorus, and so it's just a really fun song.
It's the perfect summer jam song. Now let's hear the brand new single from Jay Coot, and that's called Night Left, here on Music's Journey.
Sun sinking on a Walmart, BYO Levi's, and Carhartt hats, twisted cap, tailgate dropping on a work week, VIP only the rowdy ones don't come if you can't keep up. We came here to party, just getting started. After midnight, I don't know if I believe all that. And even if it goes bad, we won't stop, 'cause we got a little thump in the pioneers, a little redneck punch, a nice cold beer. If you're thinking we can drink it without ever even breaking a sweat.
Perfect summer jam song for the late time of the summer. We want to hold on to it just a little bit longer, and this one's going to help us do that. It just gets you up on your feet right away. It's an absolutely phenomenal song, and that is called Night Left, and that is Nashville's country star Jay Coot here on Music's Journey. Absolutely love this one.
Thank you so much. Thank you for playing it.
Just everything you're putting out there is like gold.
I've been very, very fortunate to get surrounded by incredible writers, incredible producers, incredible singers, instrument players. I've just been very, very blessed, you know, and since coming off The Voice, you know, God's just opened so many doors through COVID and since that has just kind of, you know, been something really cool to be a part of. And so I've just been very blessed, and we're working on new music to get it out soon to everybody. And so definitely super excited about what's to come.
Can you do a special shout out to a very special fan here in Canada?
Absolutely.
She picked you from The Voice as well, and her name is Lily Vitro.
Mm-hmm. I got to give Miss Lily a shout out. Well, hey, Lily, thank you so much for picking me. I tell people that, you know, whenever they say, hey, I picked you from the get-go, I tell them, you know, hey, I need to take you to the horse races, because I would have not guessed in a million years that I would have had any chance on that show. But thank you so much for all your love and support, for listening to the music. And whenever we do make our way up to Canada, we are going to all have to get together on some level, whether it's at a show or whether it's going to get something to eat, and we'll just catch up and have a great time. So thank you so much, Lily, for all the love and support.
Oh, God, she's going to love that. Absolutely love that. Are you okay to do a couple of the burning questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Favorite football team?
Carolina Panthers.
Nice. Beer or whiskey?
Beer.
Cowboy hats or cowboy boots?
Cowboy boots.
Favorite comfort food to have the moment you come off the road?
Ice cream. I always go to ice cream no matter where I'm at.
Any special kind?
Well, so I'm on this keto diet. I've been on keto for a little while. And Halo Top has a couple, there's a chocolate cheesecake one and a chocolate lava cake. I'm a big chocolate guy too. But if I'm not on keto, then I love Bluebell Dutch chocolate, and then you scoop some peanut butter in there with the chocolate ice cream, and it just, it's heaven. But yeah, if anybody has questions about ice cream, they can reach out to me, because I've about tried them all, I think.
Okay, so favorite song you have ever written that makes you emotional?
There's a song I wrote for Macy, my six-year-old. It's called Dear Best Friend. And it has not been released. My wife wants me to release it, but I have yet to muster up the gusto to do it, just because every time I sing it, I get very emotional. But basically the concept is, you know, I've always called her, you know, we call each other best friend, you know, hey, I love you, best friend. I love you, best friend.
Aww.
And so it's just the journey of her growing up. And so it's just all the things that she would do as a little infant to when she was a toddler to now she's, you know, 6 years old. And it's just little funny, quirky things that she does. And the whole thing is, hey, you know, dear best friend, don't ever change. You know, always want to hold my hand, always want to do this. You know, always stay true to who you are, no matter how old you get. And so it's a very emotional song for me to sing, but, you know, we may record it before too long, but for the time being, that's probably the most emotional song that I've written.
Oh, you know, she's got to be so proud of her daddy.
I hope so. I just wish she thought I was cool. I keep trying to get her and
she's
her
at
and my
that
wife
stage.
To call me cool, and they won't. They're holding on strong that I'm not cool yet, but I'm working there.
You just wait till she's 16. That'll come back.
Oh, God, I'm not ready for all that. I'm not ready for all that yet.
Okay, so first song you ever purchased.
First song I ever purchased was the album Horse of a Different Color by Big and Rich.
Mm.
And so that whole album is one of my all-time favorite country albums. And so I bought the CD. That was my first song purchase I think I ever did.
Very cool. Okay, so favorite cartoon growing up?
Favorite cartoon growing up? Are we talking about like a series or a movie?
Series.
Series, it was probably Pokemon. I loved Pokemon growing up, and where we lived in the Dominican, all the channels were in Spanish, other than like kids cartoons. You could get them in English on Saturday morning from like 8 to 10, and so Pokemon was one of the ones that came on during that time, along with like Batman Beyond and a couple other ones. I don't know how I'm remembering all these cartoons, but Pokemon was probably the number one that I absolutely loved watching.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite TV series or movie right now?
Right now, we are watching, we started 24.
Ooh,
which is,
good
it's
series.
Pretty good. I mean, it's you know, it's pretty good. We watched, we just got done watching the first season of Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge Goonies fan. Like, I love the movie The Goonies. And they said that Outer Banks is very similar. It's like a modern, you know, esque Goonies.
I haven't seen that one.
I mean, it's we're very interested in it right now, and we just started the second season and liking it so far. But 24 and there was the show that we just finished. It's like a limited series, but it's called Dr. Death, and it's about
I know that one too.
Doctor who. And yeah, and we listened to the podcast and everything, and so that was really good too. But I'm definitely a TV and a movie buff, and so you asked me any questions about those, and I could go on for a long time.
You got to watch Yellowstone. You can't forget to watch Yellowstone with Kevin Costner.
I watched the first season of that, and that show was way more intense than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was very, very surprised. I was like, my goodness, I was not expecting. I mean, even from the first episode, mm-hmm. I was like, my goodness, I was not expecting that.
Yep, it takes you back a little bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's I think that's out in Wyoming or something. So mm-hmm. we're wanting to get out that way because I'm just like, that's some gorgeous country out there that I have to see outside of a TV screen.
Absolutely. That's one of the places that I want to go. Do you have a favorite female actor and a favorite male actor?
Oh, favorite female and male actor. Favorite male actor, I would probably have to go with, I'm a huge Godfather fan, and so whether it's Pacino or De Niro are two of my all-time favorite actors, male actors. And then as far as female, I'm not sure. I love some Sandra Bullock movies. Mm-hmm. I love some Jennifer Aniston movies. So yeah, those two are probably my tops in that area too. Plus, I love the show Friends, and so I mean, you know, Jennifer Aniston is one of the lead roles in that. So those are probably my two top ones.
And those two actresses, I'm telling you, they are the nicest people in person too. Wonderful.
Really?
Absolutely. What you see on the screen is exactly what you get when they're off screen. Because I've interviewed them a couple times on the TIFF red carpet. So amazing, both of them.
That's amazing. That makes my heart happy to hear that. Because, you know, you don't always get what you see on TV, you know. And so that's special that they're super nice people.
Yeah, super, super nice. Absolutely lovely people. And they take the time for the fans too. And they're always great when they come to TIFF. They're one of the favorites out here.
That's awesome. Well, I'll have to hopefully meet them at some point because I love their movies and their shows.
Mm-hmm. Now, two more questions. So we've got, what is your best, most useless talent?
Oh, wow.
So your daughter might be able to answer this one.
Well, I haven't done it in a few years, but I used to be able to crack a bullwhip. Growing up in the Dominican, that was, you know, they would make it out of old rags, and then they would keep it all together with the inner tubes of a bicycle wheel.
Oh, wow.
And they would take that rubber and wrap it around, and they would make these bullwhips that were, you know, 6 to 8 feet long, and so we learned to use them at a young age, and I actually got really good where I could hit things in the air, knock things out of people's hands without ever touching them.
Oh, wow.
But I haven't done it in so long, but if, you know, if I was to pick one back up and practice a little bit, that would probably be my best, most useless talent, because what am I going to do with a bullwhip? You know, because I'm not wrangling cattle, you know, in Yellowstone, but, you know, that's probably the most useless talent that I got.
Very cool. Okay, so last one. If you could take one photo with you, you can't take anything else, one snip at a time, what would that photo be and why?
If I could take one photo and one snip at a time and what, okay. I think outside of getting married and outside of having, you know, a little baby and stuff like that, I think I would want to go back to the roaring 20s, the 1920s when, you know, they called them the Roaring Twenties because the economy was great and everything, and the music back then was just incredible and people's style. I would probably want to go back in time and take a picture of that and just enjoy that before all the wars and stuff started hitting and stuff like that. But the Roaring Twenties in the United States would probably be, I know that's super random, but I've always been very intrigued with that era in history.
Very cool answer. That is so cool. Okay. Now, talk about the brand new single. Again, tell everybody where they can get it, where they can hear the latest music, because we know you got some new stuff that's going to be dropping soon, videos and live shows. So where can they see all that?
Absolutely. Yeah, our brand new single is called Night Left. It just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's been doing really well. Y'all be sure to stream that. You can stream it on any and every platform, and we have a lyric video that's out, but we're about to put out a music video probably in the next week or so. That's really fun. And then, you know, as far as touring and stuff, y'all can get on my website, jq.com, to kind of keep up with where we're going to be next. Hopefully we'll be adding some Canada dates before long. But regardless, we're playing all over the place right now and enjoying it. And then I'm working on a new single. And then not a whole lot of people know I'm working on some Christmas stuff for this year, too. So definitely keep an eye out for all the craziness that's to come here in the next couple months. But regardless, you know, we love y'all, and we're so thankful for all the love and support. And if you stream my music or watch my videos, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Hopefully we'll get to see you and hug your neck before too long.
That's going to be amazing. Now, you've been opening for Alabama. You've just done some amazing stuff. For your fifth time, you've been on the Grand Ole Opry stage. Just tell us quickly about that, because that's got to be pretty amazing. I know you took your grandparents to that when I spoke to you last time. But five times you've been on that show.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's crazy enough to say I've played it once, but five times has been pretty special. And then, like you said about Alabama, you know, I've loved that band for a long time, and to say that I got to open for them once is incredible enough, but we've now opened for them twice and opened for Darius and Jordan Davis and a couple other people, and so it's just been, I think this year has kind of just been one for the books that, you know, if I don't start writing stuff down, I'm going to forget all the incredible things that have happened, just because it's been just such a great year, and I've been getting to do things that I never thought I'd get to do, and so it's been a blast, and we're definitely hoping for a lot more things before too long, and we're just enjoying and basking in what we've got going on right now, so we're very thankful.
We just want to remind all the fans out there for Night Left. That's the brand new single. You can download it, take your copy, and share it on all your socials and your digital streaming platforms. Call your local radio station and ask them to play it into the rotation if it is not in there already. So amazing songs. We got some great stuff coming up, and we look forward to having Jake back, and we'll be getting on the Canadian stage at some point in time, and we're manifesting this one, so we got to get you out here.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me back on, and until we meet when we're up there, thank you so much for all y'all's love and support. We definitely are very, very appreciative of everything y'all do. And thank you so much for having me back on today.
Wonderful. You give your wife a big hug for us and Macy there. So you take care of yourself, and we will talk to you very soon.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much. I will.
What a great show. It's always such a pleasure to have The Voice Season 17 winner Jake Hoot on the show. He is such a special soul, and what great music he is putting out there. So once again, his latest single, Night Left, is out there right now, and he's got some great stuff that's going to be coming up. As he said, he's got some Christmas music coming too, so hard to believe that's coming around the corner, but it is. I am Kim Sear, your host for Music's Journey. I really hope that you enjoyed my interview today with winner of Season 17 of the NBC's The Voice, Nashville recording artist Jake Hoot, with his brand new single that's out right now, and that's called Night Left. What a great summer jam song. So don't forget, you can download it and share it on all your digital platforms and request it at your local radio station. So once again, thank you so much for my very special guest Jake Hoot, and we will have him back later on this year. He's got some new music that's coming up and videos, so stay tuned. I have some great shows coming up for you with Texas King, Smoke and Ashes, Jay Walker, Jess Moskaluk, Ryan Laird, and so many more. If you enjoyed today's show, you can see the rest of the podcast that we have with some pretty incredible artists, and you can tune in to all of those on musicsjourney.com and our sponsors, nowandthenmagazine.com. We are always here with great information, great stories, and great artists, so I'm really glad that you tuned in, and thank you once again. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Have yourself a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.